I've decided tonight that I want to tell my story as an atheist in this program, that because it is the core of what we do here, right? We are here for people that are atheists in this program. I'll start at the beginning. I was born to a single mother. She was still in high school. She was 17 when I was born, and she used to say when I was growing up, she was always about 5 years behind me. So when I was 5 years old, she was ready to have a newborn. When I was 10 years old, she was ready to have a 5-year-old. And when I was 15, and so on and so forth. This resulted in a childhood that was filled actually mostly with neglect. There was some physical abuse from my father, but the neglect from my mother was huge. And I don't remember her ever having a religious conversation with me whatsoever growing up. I remember having one with my aunt. I was about 8 years old, and I'd gone to her and told her that I didn't believe in God, and she argued with me and said, and she said, "Why?" And I said, "Because I can't see him. There is no, objective proof of God." And I probably didn't use that big language when I was eight, but that I couldn't see him. And she said to me, her argument back was, "Well, when you're in West Virginia and I'm in Maryland and you can't see me, does that mean I don't exist? It means I'm still here, right?" But the point is that I already knew she existed. She was something tangible that I could touch. So yes, it was okay for me to realize she wasn't there, just, she was there just because I couldn't see her. I was an atheist, I think, my entire life. The closest that I ever came to being a religious person was between the ages of 5 and 7. I lived across the street from a Baptist church. And there was a house there that was adjacent to the church that the preacher and his wife lived in. And his wife, her name was Emily, and I remember her very well because she doted over me. She had me over at her house a lot. She would paint with me. She taught me how to make friendship bracelets. She taught me how to sew. I even have a memory of making tie-dyes with her. So I really adored this woman, and I loved the attention that she gave me. And so I started showing up for church all by myself. Just walked up. This was the 70s, so we did just walk across the street when we were 5, 6 years old by ourselves, and went to church. But I never found faith. I just really liked the things that the church offered me. I liked that it offered me attention. I liked that people doted over me. I liked that there was community. I really did like that part, but I never ever have any memory of believing anything about the religious aspect of it. I just didn't believe in God. And I grew up this way. And the closest I can say I ever came to declaring anything was when I was in my 20s. I used to have a bumper sticker on my car that said militant agnostic. I don't know, and neither do you. And that was about as close as I came to declaring anything in my lifetime. So it was a huge surprise one day, not too long ago, actually, when my oldest daughter, I have two adult grown children and one still at home. My oldest daughter said to me as she was reminiscing about her childhood, "Do you remember that time that you were a Christian?" And I instantly said to her, "No, I have absolutely no clue what you're talking about," because I couldn't fathom that she could ever have, come up with this idea. But as she started to describe that period during her childhood, I realized when it was. She said that I was packing up to leave to go to Texas, and that I was about to go to college. And then it hit me, oh, that time I was a Christian. And what she was describing was, first of all, it was a time in my life when I was at a rock bottom. I was hitting a rock bottom that was so bad that I was about to be homeless. And she had no idea about this. She had no idea about my drug use, neither did her older brother. And I was changing locations the way I know we often do. We change our locations because we believe that we change the people, places, and things, but not enough to actually change ourselves, right? So changing location is something I think a lot of us tried to do, and it just didn't work out for me, but that's neither here nor there. This particular time that she was talking about, the reason why she remembers me being a Christian was because I had actually entered into the program of Narcotics Anonymous. It was a last-ditch effort before giving up and leaving my children and moving over 2,000 miles away. I had tried quitting drugs repeatedly on my own, just to no avail. And eventually, the pain of everything that it was causing in my life was so great it was breaking me. And as our literature says, our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until, in desperation, we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. And that's what I was when I went into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I was desperate. And I actually found NA. I need a drink. I found NA in the Yellow Pages. I was looking up for treatment programs. I was thinking anything that I could get away with going to during the day, like maybe a methadone clinic. I just needed something that I wouldn't have to tell my family that I needed help. And so that's where I saw an advertisement for Narcotics Anonymous, and I made the phone call. And the next day, I went to my first meeting. My first meetings, everything was really, really foreign to me. I could figure out that these people had found a magic formula to put down the drugs, but the solution sounded really wild to me, because it seemed like it was with the prayers all over the walls and the word God everywhere. Higher power was capitalized, and I didn't escape a single meeting without a prayer that I didn't know the words to, the holding of hands in a circle and evoking God. And the fact that every single meeting was held within a church, within their walls, didn't help me believe that this was anything except for a very religious program. Despite the fact that it was, that they claimed that it was not, it sure did feel like every meeting that I went to was filled with religiosity. But I tried. I really wanted to be clean, so I tried. I listened to everything attentively, and I heard a lot of things, right? I heard the things that we hear. We will love you until you can love yourself, and don't quit before the miracle. And I heard, don't worry about what your God looks like. Eventually, you'll come to know him, right? Him, they said. And I did what I was told, come to 90 meetings in 90 days. I did that, get a sponsor. I did that and listened for the similarities. And I tried really, really hard. But I was told point blank that I could not get clean without a higher power. And nobody was there to explain to me things that I've learned more recently, like that a higher power really can be the people in the rooms or the fellowship itself. I mean, I heard the old, it can be a doorknob thing, and I never did understand that. I thought, what a strange object to pick, although somebody later explained to me it's the doorknob you open to your first meeting, har har. So, oh, that's what that means. And maybe it had somebody said that to me, I would have caught on that this higher power thing didn't have to be a supernatural God in the sky, but it didn't hit me like that. What they were saying to me was did not hit me like that. Especially with the capital H him. And where I lived, Christianity was big. And I have since come to learn that a lot about your experience in NA depends upon where you are when you first walk into the rooms. So I'm in West Virginia, and it's a pretty Christian area. I know people that in Southern California, for example, might find a lot of Buddhist at meetings, or if you even go overseas and Australia says there's not really a whole lot of God talk over there, I hear. You find it, but it's not so much that it's everybody saying it. And you certainly don't hear people saying that if you don't find God, that you're going to die. I know that people probably talk about Muhammad if they're in the Islamic states, or Islamic countries. So I figure that the God that is around you is the one that you would try to find, right? That's what made sense to me. that I would try to find the Christian God because that was what was all around me. It was the God that I knew of. I really tried hard. I dove headfirst down the rabbit hole. I tried to buy into it, and I did that so hard that I left my children with the impression that I was a Christian. And thank you, Ken. They remember me trying to read the Bible to them and trying to explain it to them. I went to Bible study classes. I tried going to church in the evening. I tried a couple of different churches, but it never felt right to me. I never ended up with this epiphany of feeling this faith in God. Sorry, I got choked up on my words a little bit. I am nervous. I never got the feeling. I never got the faith. I never found it. And I always really was jealous of people that had faith because it sounds like such a beautiful thing. And I really don't, even as I say all of this, I don't hate on people that have faith at all. I think it can be a beautiful thing, obviously. And if it helps somebody, I think that that's absolutely wonderful. But it did not help me, and it was not my path. It was not my way. But it was something that I was willing to try, right? But one of the things that I also heard while I was in the program was that you have to be honest. You have to be what's the three things that are the most important? Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. I had the open mind. I was completely willing, but it started to become clear to me that the honest aspect was not happening for me because I was lying about who I was. I was pretending to be a Christian when I was not a Christian. I was, even in my shares that I would start to say, I would say things like a lot of my own understanding, just trying so hard to fake it till I made it. And it was the lack of honesty on my behalf and the belief, the firm belief that I had, that I had to believe in this God to get through this program that drove me from the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. What's interesting is that my kids never noticed that I gave up Christianity, right? And maybe that's because they didn't notice that I was an addict either. Maybe, I was hiding so much successfully from them, that they were just seeing what I presented to the people in the rooms at that time, because I was presenting it on the outside as well. This was back in 2009, and I ended up leaving the fellowship because of the lack of faith that I just never felt. And it was nearly 12 years before I walked into the rooms again and actually stayed. But I tried a few times over the years because I kept hitting various rock bottoms. And when I say rock bottom, I mean I ended up, pregnant and homeless and with absolutely nowhere to go. I had burned everything and destroyed so much in my life that everyone around me was affected by my using in consequential ways, and they didn't want me around. I had to, practically crawl and beg my mother to take me in at one point when I was pregnant and just ask her for the sake of this baby to please help me out. And I don't think if I had been pregnant, she would have let me in. Everybody was sick of me. I did try a couple of times to go back into the rooms, and this was in South Carolina and again in West Virginia. And I think maybe something again to that whole being in the Bible state, a Bible belt, that it, or a heavily religious state and area, that it just was prominent when I walked into the rooms, the God stuff. Everybody there was preaching, and it just never fit. And I continued to walk out of the rooms of NA. I hit my final rock bottom in 2021 when I had my youngest child taken from me. She was 8 at the time. I was arrested and facing two very serious felony charges. And despite all of that, I still couldn't stop using. I could not figure out a way to quit using until it was put before me that I was either going to go sit and rot in jail until my court case, or I was going to go to rehab. And what I chose was rehab, only over going to jail. And it took me a few weeks in a detox and a few weeks in a rehab to to finally open my eyes to the fact that I had a really serious problem. I got through rehab, but when I came out, I didn't have much of a plan. I had an outpatient center that was going to see me once a week, right? But once a week is really not enough. It was not enough for me. Thank you, Ken. It was not enough for me with so with just 35, 40 days clean, however many it was. I went to a 30-day program and I went through detox for a couple of weeks, so probably 45 days. But the good news is that I was court ordered to go to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And because it was 2021, the good other news is that I could go to virtual meetings, so I could do it from the safety of my own home. And the first few meetings that I went to, I picked them because of their names, because how else are you going to pick a meeting, you know? I chose one that had the name Misfit in it because I thought that I was a misfit, and it made sense to me that maybe I could go to a place like that where they accept people that don't fit in, and I could be an atheist out loud. Maybe I could say to them, I don't believe in God, but I still have to be here. I have to be here in this program, and I don't know where else to go anyway. But it was like a, I guess my third or fourth meeting that I was there, that someone, one of the chairs, actually one of the co-hosts, said something to the effect of, and my God, whom I call Jesus Christ, and if you disagree with that, then you need to go talk to your sponsor. And it was said in this really angry way, and hearing that, I instantly felt like I couldn't come out and be my truth, you know, and say, state my truth and be who I really was. Because while he may have meant it to be defensive, it felt like he was on the offense, right? I left that meeting and I was still determined that by now I knew that no matter what, I was going to do whatever it took to get my daughter back. And so I was going to go to these meetings 3 days a week, right? I was going to do that if that's what they told me to do. But I was really feeling like I was just going to go through the motions of doing that. But I decided to Google secular meetings, and I came across Beyond Belief Seattle. And that meeting changed everything for me. The first person that was there sharing never said the word God, and they were talking about real recovery. And that was mind-blowing to me. And person after person got up and shared and didn't say that they needed their God to get them through this program. I did hear higher power, but I heard it put in a much different way. And it really changed everything for me. The next day, I went to a meeting because I wanted to. And the day after that, I went to a meeting because I wanted to. And this continued to happen for me with the secular meetings, and it's still happening now. So long after the court order disappeared for me to have to go to meetings, I'm still coming. I go to a meeting 5 days a week, and I'm now hosting meetings. I'm involved in secular NA behind the scenes. Things have really, really changed for me. I love this program, and I am beyond grateful that secular NA exists. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Thanks for letting me share.